Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay and have had a wonderful weekend. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, the 2nd of February. Coming up today, we'll catch up on some news from across the weekend. We'll also hear from a campaigner who's fighting plans for new development in Eisted Rise, and we'll have a wrap-up of all of the football results. All of that coming up, but first, let's take a look at our top story for today. A young woman working as a security guard at Maidstone Hospital says she may never return to her job after being assaulted by a drunk patient. Lou Wicks suffered ligament damage and was later diagnosed with a spinal disease after being kicked in the knees and back last May. Nicola has more details for the podcast. She's with me now. Nick, can you tell us a bit more about the circumstances around Lou's injuries?
Yeah, so Lou had been working as a security guard for 5 years and had worked at pubs, clubs, football matches and festivals. In May last year, she was working at the accident and emergency department of Maidstone Hospital in Hermitage Lane. A man came in who was known to Lou and her colleagues. He was very drunk and wanted to go outside for a smoke but couldn't stand up. She says they had to call for backup to help hold him down as he was lashing out like a wild animal trying to headbutt people. He struck Lou several times, kicking her in the knee and back. Police were eventually called and the man was arrested and escorted out.
Just how badly was she injured?
Lou says she was taken for x-rays and treated for a leg injury before being sent home with crutches and painkillers. But just a few weeks later, the 23-year-old started experiencing pains and pins and needles. Further tests revealed damage to ligaments and a degrading spine, which is a degenerative disc disease. She's told us she's now taking 25 painkillers a day, has lost her independence and confidence, and spends most of her time in her flat. Despite really loving her job as a security guard, she says it's forced her to consider changing careers.
Now, all of this comes at a time where there have been calls for a change to the law to offer better protection for security guards. What can you tell me about that?
Yes, well, Daniel Garnham is the General Secretary of the Security Industry Federation, and he's been calling for legal protections for industry workers similar to emergency and retail staff. He says if an ambulance worker or police officer is attacked, the perpetrator can expect a custodial sentence, but that's not the case for security guards. He's launched a petition asking for a dedicated offence to serve as a deterrent.
Thanks, Nicola. You can read more about this story by heading to the homepage of Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Two men are due to go on trial accused of murder following the death of a four-year-old boy in a crash in Kent. Peter Maughan was in a Ford Ranger with his mum, dad and one-year-old sister when the collision happened on New Barn Road in Southfleet in June last year. The driver of the other vehicle has admitted manslaughter but denies the more serious offence. His father, who was a passenger, denies both murder and manslaughter. Tributes are being paid to a man who was allegedly murdered on his 25th birthday near Dover. Robert Else was found with stab wounds at a house in Athorn last Thursday morning. His parents say he was deeply loved and will be forever missed. A man in his 60s is due in court tomorrow, charged with murder. A man's appeared in court and admitted causing the death of an 89-year-old pedestrian in a hit and run in Gillingham. Tom Wallace was carried on top of the roof of the vehicle for more than a mile after the collision on Gads Hill in December. 28-year-old Albert Matrixiou from Orange Hill in Edgware previously denied causing death by dangerous driving but has now changed his plea to guilty. He's due to be sentenced on March 20th. A woman has died and three others have been injured in a two-car crash on the Sheppey Crossing. It happened on the northbound stretch of the A249 just before 11:30 on Friday night when a grey Kia and BMW collided. The victim, in her 30s, was pronounced dead at the scene. Another woman and two men have been taken to hospital. A young family from Snodland say they've been left with nothing after a devastating fire at their home. Adam Phillips, his wife and two-year-old son, had been out for lunch when the blaze started at the property in Gassens Road a week ago. Their dog was also trapped inside and suffered smoke inhalation. Adam says it's left a lot of damage. He's told us what happened.
I took my sister out for lunch, and then by the time we came back, I just opened the front door, and the dog came running out, and I looked at the top of the stairs, and the house was on fire, and it turned out to be the dehumidifier, their fire brigade thing. Anyway, I just couldn't believe it. You just look up and, like, you know, you expect it to be a normal day, just walking into your home as you do, and to look up and just see the sort of glaring fire, just, I don't know, sort of unimaginable, really. Just that feeling, just shock, isn't it?
Yeah, we was only out the house for
two and a half hours. Just called the North called Donna Lyon and got them to come. And then I had to run into the house because the dog was outside without a lead or a harness. And my wife was behind me with my two-year-old son. So she was holding this my son, hands the dog. So I then had to go in to get a lead and the harness for them. And then, yeah, it was just awful just watching the sort of rock and flames around here. Downstairs, there's smoke damage, but mainly water damage everywhere. Because they had to put the fire out, and it's quite a small home. See, our home, it's literally, you walk in the door, we have a lounge and kitchen combined, where it's a one bedroom, it's like one up, one down house. So, and it's open plan, so it's literally just a case of when they put the fire out, all the water just flooded the whole house as well. So if it's not fire damage, it's smoke damage, it's water damage. But my son has quite severe asthma. So, you know, we can't keep anything because the firefighters are saying that the smoke is sort of will be ingrained in everything. Even if you wash it a million times, you're not going to get rid of that. So all of his toys, every single toy, every single bit of clothing, every little memory that was there is gone, do you know?
Nine cats have been rescued by a Rochester-based charity after being abandoned inside a home for more than 2 weeks. Wisteria Cat Rescue accompanied police to the property on Saturday and discovered the animals had no fresh water and only minimal food. A number of kittens did not survive. The charity is now raising funds to help care for the cats.
Kent Online News.
More than 1,300 objections have been submitted just 3 weeks after plans were revealed for new homes near Gravesend. A developer wants to build 154 properties on agricultural land off Downs Road in Eisted Rise. In an outline application, they say access to the estate would be near the current primary school, which would also need to expand to meet demand. Michaela Desforges is from Campaigners Green Not Greed. She's been speaking to Nicola.
We shouldn't be touching Greenbelt. It should be protected. There is a reason for having Greenbelt in the first place. Obviously, we need the green land. If we take that away and have concrete, where's the water going to go? You have more houses every summer now because the summers are getting hotter. We're having water shortages. We've seen all the struggles with water over the county over recent months. So it's just not, you can't cope with it, you know. And then you've got the infrastructure. The roads here in Eisted Rise are not suitable. They are small, narrow roads. They can't cope with that amount of traffic. And that because it is Greenbelt and because it is countryside or rural, whatever you want to call it, we have got so many protected species of wildlife, either from here or from where I walk the dog, which isn't far distance wise. We've got tawny owl, little owl, barn owl. I've seen the barn owl in the garden, you know. We've got birds of prey, as in red kites, buzzards, kestrels, bats. In the bat survey, there was 10 different species reported. We can't afford to lose, you know, the wildlife that we've got. There's badger sets. I'm not sure whether they've been covered. The reptile survey said none were spotted, but we know we have seen adders. So I just don't think there is the consideration of the damage that this would do. You know, why aren't people seeing that once it's gone, it's gone? We can't get it back. You can't build houses and then go, oh, darn it. You know, why have we not seen a tawny owl, you know, or heard the tawny owl? Well, because somebody stuck a load of houses there, you know. And there will be arguments that this was fields once. Yes, it was. Everywhere was. But there has to be a limit.
I was interested to see in the most recent article that had been done on Kent Online the huge number of people who've put in objections. I mean, you might get a couple of hundred, but was it over 1,000 objections have now been sent in?
As of checking this morning, it was 1,397 objections.
Wow. I mean, how does that make you feel? That's quite extraordinary, I would think, to a development.
It is, yeah, because it means that the hard work that we've put in with the data gathering. You know, we haven't just made the information that we've provided residents, you know, we haven't made it up. We have researched. We've all come from different walks of life, I suppose you could say, different ages. And it just goes to show how important the area we live in and what we want to protect from being destroyed, you know. Obviously, parents of school children are incredibly concerned about the health side of things because of the school being so close, not just during the construction with the dust and noise disturbing education, but it's all the added fumes. We had one parent say that they're probably going to have to, if it went ahead, they would have to withdraw their child because of health issues that they already have with their lungs. I'm an asthmatic, and I know if I've had a day around busy traffic, you know, I can feel it on my chest. So those children are going to be around it because it's on top of them. So, and it's just really not fair. You know, we want to set our children up for a good future with a good education. And you want to crash bang wallop for 5 years building a new development and then having a junction that is probably 40 metres from the school entrance. And that to me is incredibly dangerous. And there is no alternative access.
A Chatham woman who falsely claimed nearly £15,000 in universal credit has been spared jail. Caroline Broomfield said she was given incorrect advice from a friend about claiming the benefit and failed to declare money from a divorce settlement. The 55-year-old from East View in St Mary's Island is paying the money back at a rate of £30 a month. Residents have raised concerns over plans to build a new bus depot in Sevington. Go Coach want to set up a base in Waterbrook Park opposite Ashford International Truck Stop so their fleet can better service the southeast of the county. Those living nearby say it will create too much noise and pollution. If it's approved, it would create 20 full-time jobs. A woman from Maidstone who has beaten breast cancer 3 times has shared her disbelief after her husband was diagnosed with terminal lung cancer. Lee Miller was told he had throat cancer in 2023, which later spread to his lungs and is now incurable. Wife Liz says the disease is causing havoc with her family and she's now raising money to help give comfort to Lee in the time he has left.
Kent Online News.
Another 18 primary schools in Kent have signed up to run free breakfast clubs. The government scheme is being expanded from April, with new clubs being set up in areas including Sheerness, Dover and Medway. It means around 30 schools in our county will be involved in the program, which ministers say is hugely beneficial for parents and children. Applications have now also opened for the next round of breakfast clubs, launching in September. A husband and wife team from a village near Maidstone have turned their local hall into a pop-up coffee shop. Olivia and Aaron Engels from Oatum noticed there weren't any places to eat or drink in their village. They had previous experience serving coffee out of the back of a camper van during the pandemic and decided to put those skills to good use. Olivia's told us how it all came about.
We opened the cafe in July. We actually had a camper van. We had it in the camper van, very similar to this one. And we did that for about 3 years around Leybourne, Westmoreland area. And we served out the back during lockdown. And then, yeah, we went to Australia, came back, I think, last December. And we were like, right, we didn't have the van at the time. So we were like, what are we going to do? Like, we miss doing it. We love seeing everyone. So we actually came, we live here. So we walked up one day and I was like, oh, the hall would be such a good space to like open up again, just as a pop-up. So we were actually only going to do like summertime, summer just gone. And yeah, we were so busy through the summer. We were like, let's just stay. So we've got, kind of kept like a rolling thing going. And we opened up and about 6 months ago now.
And what's the parish council been? Have they been supportive of this?
So supportive. So without them, and they've got like a village committee, which do like events for the village to raise money for the hall. Without them, we would not have been, we wouldn't be where we are now. Like this, they've been so supportive since day one. Come in every time for a cappuccino. They're always in and always asking us if we need any help or anything. So yeah, they've been, I think it's so good to see for the community, for everyone to kind of come together and have a space, because Oatum is, it looks tiny, but there's so many like little side roads and loads of different houses that you wouldn't even know that are here. So I think it's been so good for everyone to kind of have a space to come together and enjoy a coffee and a cake. Everyone loves a pastry.
it shocked me just walking in of how many people there are. It's such a tiny village.
I know. Yeah, a lot of people say that. They kind of park up and they're like, where are we? We're in the middle of nowhere. And then they walk in and they're like, wow, where have these people come from? So I think it's needed. There's a lot of amazing dog walking spaces like around the fields, even towards Lee's Castle Way. So a lot of people are kind of coming in that way, seeing coffee cups and being like, where have you got that from? Like, I want to know, I want a good coffee. Mm-hmm. And we've had the same coffee roastery, Bean Smitten, for I think like 6 years now. And everyone loves that coffee. So we definitely produce a good coffee out of it.
The pair pay rent to Oatham Parish Council and the committee, which in turn helps cover the yearly running costs of the building. The Little Travelling Bean in Oatham Street is open Friday, Saturday and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. A Kent rapper who was diagnosed with autism at a young age says he hopes to make a difference in the music industry. Callum Milgate, who's also known as Ginger C, grew up in Sheerness and says he wants to represent the area. The 28-year-old has worked with big names including M.R and Big Nasty to release a record, with funds going to Women's Aid.
Kent Online News.
Football now, and the Gillingham manager has offered an apology after his team were beaten 4-1 by League Two leaders Bromley. The Gills were 3-0 down by the 28th minute at Priest Field on Saturday afternoon. Gareth Ainsworth says it was one of their worst home performances for quite some time.
Listen, I picked the team. It's on me, that one. Fans, I am gutted for you, because I know how important that one is, you know. Two teams in Kent. Bromley, top of the league, and they showed a lot of why they are top of the league. You know, took some fantastic chances, but there was some unrecognisable stuff from us, which, again, we've been so good lately, you know, and not just lately, for a long time. That's probably our worst home performance for quite some time, and defensively we weren't good at all. You know, we've got too many easy chances in the first half. Second half, I think they've had one shot on goal and scored it. Typical, you know, worldy, but we really took it to him second half. But it didn't need changes and me to go off at half time just for that to happen. I expected us to be right from the start. But I'm the manager. It's me. Yeah, put it on me. I'll protect these boys because they give me everything. But we didn't get it right today.
Second half, we gave it a right good go, as you said, to create a number of chances, but I guess the virtue of the damage had been done by then.
Yeah. Listen, there's a big moment in that second half. There's a penalty claim.
Yeah.
I believe if we get that penalty, we get something out of this game. I really do. Kick into the Rainham end, the way those fans are, and the changes they had in the bag, I believe we'd have got something. As it happens, I think 2 minutes later, the ball's in the back of our net. And those are the moments in football that, you know, you live and die by sometimes, you know. Referees made the decision that it's not a penalty. We have to accept that. You know, I wouldn't say whether it is or not before seeing it again, but the lads are adamant that Josh has been dragged down, and unfortunately we didn't get it. But the damage had been done in the first half. We're 3-0 down after 27 minutes, and I'm thinking this could be worse. I had to change shape again, you know. We were so good at the 4-3-3, creating chances. I had to show us up again, you know, and I think I'll have a good look at myself first and pick a team for Tuesday that I want to go out there and bring something back from, because we had a chance, you know. We had a chance to rise up the table, get near the playoffs. I still think we've got a chance. There's a 2-year plan on, obviously, and people will be patient and they'll understand. But I wanted it in this first year. I want to be up there, and that's the person I am. Few positives. I thought Ronan Hale looked very good, very sharp. I'm going to bring plenty of chances and opportunities. He worked well. And Cameron Ansari getting some minutes again at the end there. Looked lively. You know, he's probably not at the level of Ronan at the moment, you know, where Ronan's been. But Cameron's learning, and he's going to be a really good addition to this team. I've got to now have a look at how we can stay solid and score more goals, because that was poor to me.
Despite the loss, Gills remain 14th in the table. Staying with football, and there's been disappointment for Chatham Town as their run in the FA Trophy comes to an end. They lost 1-0 to Southend United on Saturday after making it to the fifth round of the competition for the first time. Fans thought they'd snatched a last-minute equaliser, but it was ruled out by officials. Manager Kevin Hake says it was the wrong call. He spoke to sports reporter Luke Cordell after the match.
Did it go over the line? What's your opinion of that?
100%. It's gone over the line. You're going to have a look at the video and you'll see it. It's gone over the line. But look, you can't rely on officials. I mean, clearly, and I thought we'd done more than enough to get something out of the game. I think that's what we deserve. But there wasn't much consistency from their side. But look, that's what you get sometimes.
Will you be able to speak to the referee about that?
What's the point?
Really? Would he just, if you did go to him, what would he say? He would just, that's it, it's decision made.
What's the point? Look, when you play against these higher teams, you're always going to get, you know, they want to side, but they're used to managing that level because obviously the referee and the officiating level needs to be at that at the level of the higher team that you're playing. And we had it exactly the same with the Carlisle game where we had to, you know, go out and beat 12 men to go and win a game, you know. And look, all you want is a little bit of consistency. That's all you want. Yeah, I realise we're a couple of leagues lower than them. We're in the Isthmian Prem and they're high-flying in the National League. But at the end of the day, all you want is just some consistency, and it's just not across the board. Do you know what I mean? So, like, look, at the end of the day, if that gets him promoted, if that, then good luck to him. Do you know what I mean? But, you know, I think if he looks back at it, and you can look back at the videos and see it, but the Lino's got to help him out as well. But for whatever
that's
reason,
right, they didn't really communicate together, did
not
they?
Not at all. Not at all. If you see him when the decision gets made, he runs back towards the halfway line. He didn't want to make a decision. But look, I'm not going to blame, like, you know, the referee, because I think we've done more than enough. We could have, you know, put the chance convincingly away. Do you know what I mean? We could have, you know, scored the penalty that we got, you know, but we didn't. But look, I don't want the focus to be on the referee, because that would just be, you know, it's pointless. The focus should be on the boys who's, you know, taken the club into the last 16 of a national competition for the first time in history. And that's what I want to just focus on, because that's what I'm proud of.
I think the game started well. You defended nicely. You got that chance, a penalty, I know, after last week. Disappointing again for you from the spot.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, I think you struck it well. Do you know what I mean? So it's a good save from the goalkeeper. It's always hard when, you know, there's pressure penalties, and sometimes it's just like fine margins. You know, like they're taking a penalty and it's down their end in front of their fans, and obviously Matty's taking a penalty and he's in front of their fans as well. Sometimes it's just down to them fine margins, you know. But I couldn't be more proud of the guys. I mean, we conceded one goal in the competition, one goal in six games, and it's a rebounded penalty. And I think I'll take that.
Arsenal have won the inaugural Women's Champions Cup. They beat Brazilian side Corinthians 3-2 last night. Kent's Alessia Russo was in the team and came close to scoring. The game ended up going to extra time. London City Lionesses have beaten Brighton and Hove Albion in the Women's Super League. The side who train near Aylesford are up to sixth in the table following the 2-1 victory away from home. And briefly in ice hockey, Kent's Invicta Dynamos have suffered back-to-back defeats in the South Division 1. They lost 2-0 to Slough Jets in Gillingham last night after being beaten 4-3 away at Chelmsford Chieftains on Saturday evening. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups and exclusive stories. You can choose the subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.